It is good to see all of you again, and I would like to encourage you now to turn in your your Old Testaments to the Book of Psalms and the 100th Psalm. And yes, I do know the Book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. Sorry about that. The 100th Psalm is a Psalm of Thanksgiving, and I would like to read it to you to begin our lesson this evening, Psalm 100. We'll read all five verses of that Psalm. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. This is a well-known psalm, one that we actually have put to music, and it is in our hymnals. We sing it fairly often. I want to especially note verses 4 and 5 of the text because it very clearly establishes that the 100th psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is right and appropriate for the people of God to always give Him thanks for His goodness, for His might, for His mercy, for His deliverance. There's another passage of Scripture that I want to allude to introduce our lesson this evening from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This psalm of thanksgiving here is, of course, one of many songs, many of them in the book of Psalms written by David. We have in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 another psalm of thanksgiving given by David at the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Israel as he and Israel rejoiced. I want to note just verses 7 through 9. We're not going to take the time to read the entirety of that song that was sung by David on that occasion. We're told that on that day that David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. So again, we see an example of thanksgiving. Something that should be characteristic of the people of God. We should always be thankful, always be aware of the manifold blessings that we receive from the Almighty. This, of course, is inclusive not only of the examples that we find in the Old Testament from which we learn, but also there are any number of examples that we can find in the New as well, both of individuals who gave thanks to God for the blessings they received, or with regard to admonitions that were given. One of those is found in Ephesians chapter 5 when the Apostle Paul is talking about the importance of singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. As a part of that context in verse 20, as an aspect of that singing, we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we begin the lesson this evening, we want to emphasize the importance of our being mindful of the blessings that God has given us and always be giving thanks to Him. And I like the phrase as it is used by the apostle there in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, because we are to give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll notice we are to give thanks for all things always. So those are two things for us to consider and to remember as a means of introducing our lesson this evening. To always give thanks for all things that we have received. There is to be that mindfulness with regard to thanksgiving. Now, I want to just spend a few moments talking about the subject of thanksgiving in general. We want to start off by noting what it is when we talk about thanksgiving. And of course, it is a simple definition to give, but the actual meaning of the word as it is used in Scripture is a grateful acknowledgement of benefits that we have received. And as we acknowledge and understand that all things come from God, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are told that all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places come from or in Christ Jesus, then we recognize the importance of being grateful and of acknowledging those blessings that we have received, giving that acknowledgement to God Himself. Now, when we talk about giving thanks, there are certain things that we presuppose or that are understood when we use this idea of Thanksgiving, when we talk about the idea of Thanksgiving. The first one is a presupposition that a blessing has been received and that you are aware of it. Now, I suppose that it is possible for us to have received blessings of which we are not aware. However, having said that, I think that an individual who consistently is unaware of blessings received from God is an individual who is unaware because he is not cultivating in his heart that needed awareness. And so if we are cognizant of the fact that, for example, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places come through Jesus, if we are cognizant and aware of the fact that God is the creator of the universe and the things that we have each day, even our daily bread, our sustenance, those things that are needful, are likewise supplied by God. As we get in the mindset of acknowledging those things and recognizing that those things are true, then we will be developing the mindset of thanksgiving. And so there is that presupposition. I know that I have been blessed by God, and as such, I give thanks to Him. Now, let me give you Paul as an example in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because Paul in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy in verse 12 said, I thank Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So here the apostle indicates his awareness that his ability to preach, the position that he found himself in, was something that he had received from Jesus Christ. Now, it is an obvious thing. All we have to do is look at what actually happened with regard to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and then as a part of that, the job or the work, the ministry that God gave him to do as an apostle to the Gentiles. Well, that was something that was directly stated to Paul. But he is aware of the fact, and he considered the fact, that Jesus Christ was the one who had enabled him. So as he knew that, we are told that he gave thanks to Christ Jesus for that. He said, He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. So he acknowledged where he had come from. He acknowledged what he was now as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and acknowledged that he received these things, not because he deserved them, but because of the mercy of Christ. And for that, he was thankful. And so first of all, the presupposition is there that you have. You know you have been blessed. The second presupposition is the knowledge of the specific blessings. Not in other words, the awareness of the fact that God does bless us and that we receive blessings from God, but we are now mindful of the specific things that we do indeed receive from God. And again, we want to use Paul as an example in this regard from his epistle to the Philippians in the first chapter and verse 3. This is an interesting thing. He says there, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, you have to remember the context, of course, of Paul's writing to the Philippians. Why it was that he was writing. He was writing to them because of the great love that he had for them and the fact that they had aided him in his ministry. They had shared with him. They had fellowship with him in the proclamation of the gospel. While he was in prison, Epaphroditus had come to them, come to him, bearing a gift from the Philippians. And so this was something that made Paul mindful of the Philippians. But the interesting thing was, as he contemplated the Philippians, as he thought about the relationship that they had, as he thought about the work that they were doing, as he thought about the blessings that he had received at their hands, as a result of thinking about them, he thanked God. And so he was mindful. And this is perhaps a good time to give, by way of practical application, such an admonition as to our responsibility and the way in which we can accomplish this mindset of thankfulness toward God. And that is truly, I think that term is a correct term, to cultivate that, to strive always to be mindful of the things that we have received. In other words, we may not write it down as a list, although that would certainly be right and proper. But we are cognizant of these things because we have set our minds on them. We are thinking about them. we are bringing them to mind. I think that one of the things about people who have that tendency to be ungrateful with regard to what they have received, they are simply not mindful of those things. They take it as a matter of course, or perhaps even have that sense of entitlement that I receive these things because these things are my lot, they are my privilege. And of course, the Apostle Paul never had that mindset at all. But let's just take as an example how children can be. It is very possible to spoil children. We love them dearly, especially if they are our own. And as a result of that, we want to shower gifts upon them. And as they're growing up, they receive things. And it's possible. If the parent does not seek to engender in the child a mindset of thankfulness and gratefulness for those things, that they begin to feel entitled. I'm getting these things because I deserve these things. I'm getting these things because this is my privilege. This is my lot in life. And so when they receive them, as they think that is something that they have the right to expect, they are not sufficiently grateful for those blessings that they have received. And that certainly wasn't the case with Paul. Paul was aware of where he came from. Paul called himself chief among sinners. Paul acknowledged and recognized here in this particular, or in the previous text in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that he was an insolent man, though the insults that he visited upon the people of God, he did so ignorantly in unbelief, but insolence was there nevertheless. He had done much despite to the people of God, and so whenever it was that such mercy was shown to him, he was certainly appreciative of it. And so he had cultivated that mindset. He was aware of it. He thought about it. And he said, I thank my God every time I remember you. The third presupposition we want to note in this text is from Daniel chapter 4. We'll make the point. But the third presupposition we want to make note of in the mindset of thanksgiving is to know who it is from whence those blessings come. So there is, first of all, the recognition that blessings do come, mindfulness of the specific blessings that you have received, and then that understanding from whom those blessings come. Wonderful, wonderful expression of this concept is found in Daniel chapter 4. On this particular occasion, we find the humiliation of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you may remember that King Nebuchadnezzar at that particular time was the most powerful of all men upon the face of the earth. The Babylonian Empire is one of the greatest empires in the history of the world. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king in that great empire. And I want you to notice how he felt about what he had accomplished, as stated in verse 30. As he spoke, he said, "Is this not great Babylon?" As he walked about in the midst of the great city, "that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty." And we are told that while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses." Now that's the lesson that will be taught to Nebuchadnezzar. Now we'll notice in verse 33, that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning him. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. So here the greatest of men, the self-acknowledged greatest of men, "Look at what I have built. Look at what I have accomplished. These things are done for my majesty," because of his pride and his arrogance, that he had forgotten that the blessings he received come from God. He was humiliated to bring him back to that understanding. And that humiliation worked, as he did acknowledge the sovereignty and the preeminence of Jehovah at a later time. But I want to read again that statement in verse 32 of the text. He says, "These things will happen until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whomever He chooses." And that's the understanding that we need to have with regard to God. Now, that is not to say that God is arbitrary with regard to disseminating the blessings that He gives to us. It's not to say that God is in any way capricious with regard to how He treats men, treating some men fairly and treating other men unfairly. God is a righteous God and He does not act in that way. But we do understand that what we receive is a gift from Him. And because He is sovereign, because He is preeminent, He has the right to make such determinations with regard to the blessings that He bestows upon man. So when we are blessed and we receive good things, we need to acknowledge and recognize that the good things that we receive come from Him. And so with that understanding and recognition of these presuppositions, we've been blessed. We are to be mindful of the specific blessings that we receive and who it is from whence those blessings come. We want to also indicate the importance of giving thanks and when it is that this thanks should be given. Interesting thing is, we find an explanation in Scripture, an example in Scripture of the call for thanksgiving to come prior to the reception of the blessings themselves. I want you to notice the text of Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. In that text, the Hebrew writer says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." Now think about that a moment. The idea is that we are acknowledging the comfort, the help, the provision, the strength and protection that is given by God based upon the fact that God has promised those things to us. In other words, we give thanks to God. We are appreciative of His protection and guidance even before the circumstance or situation arises where that is given to us, because in expectation of those things, we have confidence in God's faithfulness. We know that what He has promised, He will deliver to us. We talk about the hope that we have of eternity in the presence of the Almighty. We rejoice in that hope. We talk about the fact that we, because we have been baptized in the watery grave of baptism, had our sins washed away, obtained a reconciliation, a new birth, and we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can talk about that salvation as it is real, because it is. How do we know that we are saved? Because He has promised that those who live righteously and faithfully before Him will have that eternal reward. And as such, we rejoice and we give thanks to the fact that God sent His Son. We give thanks to the fact that we have the hope of heaven. We expect heaven as a result of the promises of God. And thanksgiving is certainly something that is indeed appropriate even before the blessings are bestowed upon us. Now, the second point with regard to the giving of thanks is that we ought certainly to give thanks as those things are being, or those blessings, excuse me, are being given to us. And there is a sense here where there was with regard to hope, the expectation to receive blessings, there is this acknowledgement and the understanding that we are dependent upon God and the reception of His blessings. So we're talking here about reliance upon Him. We trust in Him certainly, but we also rely upon Him to grant us those promises, whether they be the spiritual blessings that we receive in Jesus or the daily bread that we receive as we live upon this earth. There is another example that we could give. Paul, again in Acts chapter 28, this time in verse 15, serves as our example, where he expresses his gratitude on this occasion for his brethren. In verse 15, this was, of course, during his journey, as he was on the road and journeying both by land and by sea to Rome. In verse 15, he said, "When the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us." The brethren came to meet us. They came as far as Appia Forum and Three Inns. And when Paul saw them, Luke records, when Paul saw them, he thanked God, and he took courage. So here is an example of Paul receiving a benefit or blessing from God. You have those who are his brethren in Christ who were aware of his need, aware of the difficulty of his journey, aware of the uncertainty that led him to Rome, and the uncertainty of where he would end up and what would become of him as a result of that trip to Rome. And so his brethren went to him to express their support and to comfort him. And he was comforted and he was encouraged and he took courage as a result of their efforts. And we're told here that he thanked God that these individuals had come to him. So this was in the midst of the blessings. And that is, I think, most probably the common idea that we have as we receive these thanksgivings. We receive them, and as we receive them, we're benefiting and being blessed by these things, then we are certainly interested in acknowledging what God has given to us. The third point, and this also is a logical progression in regard to our consideration of when it is that we give thanks, and that is after the blessing has received. And again, when we talk about that, the acknowledgement of the blessing at the time in which it comes, but we often have opportunity to thank God after we have received the blessing. Now, just as a practical application of this, keep in mind that we become aware of good things that happen to our brethren, to others. We may not be immediately aware of those things, the blessings that they have received. Others may not be aware of how we have been blessed by God, but when we become aware of it, what do we do? What should we do? We offer up our thanksgiving to God. This evening, during both morning and evening, during the announcements, we made mention of both Dennis and Glenda Scroggins. This is just an example of what we're talking about. Not to say that things are going great with them, but Dennis has always had such a wonderful attitude with regard to their illnesses, and that's expressed both when he's talking with you personally. It's expressed in the posts and emails and letters that he sends. You can go on the backboard and you can read in the support letters we receive from Dennis just how positive his mindset is and Glenda's mindset is, despite the fact that they both are suffering from cancer. So it's a very difficult thing. But here was an opportunity after Glenda had received her second chemotherapy treatment and tolerated it well for her to receive sufficient strength and improvement to where she was able to go back to work. What did Dennis do? Dennis gave thanks for that, made us aware of it so we could rejoice and give thanks to God as well for the blessings received. Where Dennis, in being diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, had a very, very high PSA level. It was at the last recorded level, 0.03, which is very, very low. And he thanked God for the blessing that he had received. We are mindful of it. We become aware of it. We give thanks to God as well as we acknowledge the prayers that have been answered and the blessings that we have received. But it takes that willingness to be aware, to look into those circumstances and situations and be mindful of them and express such thanks, because after the blessing has been received, it is important that it be acknowledged. Now that happened in the example that we have in Exodus the 15th chapter. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, on this particular occasion, Moses and his people were rejoicing at the victory that they had obtained at the hand of the Egyptians. So you'll remember the bondage and the oppression of the people. You remember the great scare that they received as they finally were able to leave the land of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, the banks of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians pressed upon them. But God intervened on their behalf, and they passed over on the other side on dry land, and then the sea closed down upon the Egyptian army. And there was a song that was sung, a song of thanksgiving sung by Moses and the people at the victory that they had obtained over the Egyptians at the Red Sea. We won't read the entirety of the song. It's actually rather long, but do look at the first verse. When Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord, they spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." I will sing to the Lord. That's an expression of thanksgiving. And by the way, keep that in mind, that we can express thanksgiving in ways other than merely prayer to God. Psalms and hymns that we sing often are expressions of thanksgiving. As we lift the fruit of our lips to God in song, we praise His name for the blessings that we receive in Christ Jesus. And there is that good cause for us to rejoice. And so is there that mindset in you to be thankful? Are you seeking to thank God for the promises that He has offered to us with that understanding and realization that they will come? Do you, as you receive those things, acknowledge the reception of the blessings from God and are aware that these things indeed do come from God? And finally, after the blessing has received, you acknowledge the reception of it and praise His name for what has been received. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 15 of the text. We started off with that statement that we are to always give thanks to God for all things. This is another very inclusive text. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, we are told that by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The idea of continual thanksgiving, the continual persistence in thanksgiving, is something that we want to be mindful of by way of admonition this evening. Now, there is one final passage that I want to read to you as we draw our lesson to a close. This one is found in Colossians chapter 2, and you may want to turn with me to that text, beginning in verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. I think that it's possible, even as we speak of this, the need to be mindful of the blessings we have received, to acknowledge the promises of God and the fulfillment of those promises, that this can be something we do merely by rote. I don't know that I have often, if ever, heard a public prayer offered in this auditorium, in this assembly, where the individual did not offer that prayer at some point in time, give thanks to God for the blessings we've received. It is a common thing that is done. It is possibly stated dispassionately. And I'm not going to say that emotion must always be bubbling up to the surface on the inside for it to be legitimately a sincere prayer that is offered to God. But it is possible for us to merely recite these things by rote. Yes, God, thank You for what You have given me, and I am on my way doing the things that I do and the things that interest me. We need to be mindful, but we also need to recognize the pervasive nature that this giving of thanks should have. The fact that it is not merely rote, but rather with every fiber of our being, we rejoice in what we have been given by God. And I think that is something that is evidently stated in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. So the Apostle Paul there says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And I want you to look at that phrase, not only continuously, but with abundance, that it's something that should be pervasive. And I think that if we consider things that we have received, think back to a particular time in your life. It may be a time of desperation when you were in need of some help, and a benefactor comes along and shares with you some money or some food or shelter in a time when you sorely need it. It may be during a time when you are suffering. You are mourning the loss of a loved one, or there is illness or sickness in the family, and you are desperate, and someone comes along and they offer you that ray of hope. They offer you that sunshine, that encouragement, perhaps even something that actually helps you through that difficult time. And when you are emotionally fraught, when you're fully invested in your need, and then you receive that wonderful blessing from that individual, you are truly, truly thankful. Tears are shed. And you acknowledge that you don't know what you would have done if it had not been for their intervention, for how they helped you. That's the way we're supposed to feel with regard to the Almighty God of heaven. Using Paul finally as an example, I am reminded of that statement of his devotion in Romans chapter 1. When, with regard to the preaching of the gospel, he said, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." The reason why he felt that way is because of the debt that he owed to God. He who was the insolent one, he was the chief among sinners, was the one who had received the mercy from God despite that insolence. And as a result, he became an ambassador. And because of what he had received from God, he was mindful of how great a gift that was, how great a blessing that was. He was going to give every fiber of his being, make every effort he possibly could, devote himself wholly, entirely to living in such a way as to make himself worthy of that calling to which God had called him. And so he was thankful. He was grateful. He never forgot it. He continuously and abundantly offered up those expressions of thanksgiving with his lips, with his pen, as he recorded them for posterity. And that's the attitude that we ought to have as well. So it is not merely rote. It is not merely ensuring that every single time you say a prayer to God, that somewhere in that prayer you say, and by the way, God, thank you for our daily bread, or thank you for the blessings that we receive. But a mindset that brings about true thanksgiving, true praise to God, is one that fully acknowledges and understands what it is that he has received and from whence that blessing has come. And because he is mindful of it, he proclaims as loudly, vociferously, as fully and persistently as he can, "Thank you, God, for what you have given to me." That's the mindset of thanksgiving. And that's what we ought to have as his children. We're going to offer an invitation at this time, not knowing the hearts of any. If you are here and need to respond to the invitation call, we extend it to you. Whether you are a child of God or not, if there is anything that we can assist you with of a spiritual nature, we'll offer ourselves to you at this time and ask that you come while together we stand, while we sing.